We thank God for the time we have taken to bring our praises and worship to Him. What a wonderful song that was. God is good all the time. Reminds me of that promise, the church promise. I asked Brother Benji, what's the church promise? He said it's Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. The song reminds of the same thing. God is good. The prophet Jeremiah began his ministry during the reign of King Josiah. And his job was to take the message, preach the word of God, and telling them not a good message, not good news, but it was a message of destruction, damage, and punishment, judgment coming upon the people of God for their disobedience. And this happened, you know, during that time, and later we see Nebuchadnezzar came to Babylon, destroyed the city and the temple. And Jeremiah's job was to take this message to the people. And here in chapter 32, the church promise for this year, we see God saying, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them and good. Even though in spite of their disobedience, in spite of their rebellious nature, in spite of them going away from God over and over again, time and time after time, yet God was merciful to them. Think about your life and my life. How often we have displeased God. How often we have gone away from God. How often we did not walk in the footsteps of God or in the ways of God that He wanted us to walk. Yet God is merciful. His covenant, His promise, His faithfulness, His goodness will never depart from us. We don't deserve, those of us who are not here earlier, we studied, we read a few verses from the epistle to Colossian church, chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. We see how God made us qualified people. I wonder sometimes if God were to give us, let's say, think about it, God were to give the option of asking people to enter into His kingdom, through the recommendation of the pastor, through the recommendation of elders, through the recommendation of deacons, you know, what would have been our position? Let's say we filled out an application and we write everything about us. I'm sure the deacons, the pastor, the elders, church leaders would say, this is Solomon? He is not qualified to go to the kingdom of God. No, I'm just taking example. You know, we all look at the garbage that is in us. We try to see the bad stuff and we disqualify people immediately. You know, same thing I mentioned, that example of going for a job interview. They look all the good stuff. Not, you never want to say anything bad, even in the interview. Even though you know you did some bad stuff or you don't have enough experience or knowledge and understanding, you want to make it look like, you know, it's very rosy and very nice, and you want to present yourself like you're the best candidate, only candidate that they have to take. But when God looks at our life, look at all the dirt, rubbish, but yet He made us qualified people. Jeremiah is reminding the children of God, in spite of your disobedient nature, in spite of your rebellious nature, in spite of you are eligible for the wrath of God, the judgment of God, God is merciful. He has an everlasting covenant. The promise He made to your forefathers, Abraham, Jacob, all those Isaac, you know, all those people, that He will not depart His mercy. I will not turn away from them to do good unto them. What a merciful God He has. I know the plans I have for you, Jeremiah 29. Verse 11, plans not to harm you, not to destroy you, but to make you prosperous. That is a wonder-working God. That's the difference between us and God. Somebody were to do harm to us, we will never forget in our life. And we'll be looking for an opportunity to take a revenge against them. But God is not such. We thank God for His mercy, tender mercies, faithfulness, loving kindness towards us. And thank God for this wonderful promise, Jeremiah 32, 40, that His covenant He's going to keep, His promise He's going to keep, and He will always do good unto His children, unto His people. An anniversary celebration is a time to celebrate the joys of today, the memories of yesterday, and the hope for tomorrow. We thank God for the 8th anniversary of this fellowship here, Zion Church. This Zion marching towards that heavenly Zion. We thank God for His care, for His goodness, for His protection all these years that God has given to this congregation and to the leadership of this fellowship. This afternoon, quickly, we'll see a few verses again. Turn to Paul's epistle to the Colossian church, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, earlier during worship, we've seen verses 12 to 14, and why Paul was a man of praise, man of thanksgiving. What made him to thank God and what he's asking the saints to do, give thanks to God. We've seen that four things earlier, chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This afternoon, we'll see a few verses again from the same epistle of Paul to the Colossian church, beginning from verse 1 all the way through verse 11. Let's read it responsibly. Colossians chapter 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy is our brother. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you.
Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints.
For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. As you learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ.
Who also declared to us your love in the Spirit.
Yeah, please notice from verse 9, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we thank you and praise you for all that you have accomplished through this fellowship, through this body of Christ here in this area. Thank you for your care, loving kindness, provision, protection, and Lord, your promises fulfilled in our dear ones' lives all those years and enabling them to enter into a new year in their journey. Thank you, Lord, to celebrate the 8th anniversary of this congregation, fellow believers. We pray, Lord, that would continue to guide them, bless them, watch over them, and the purpose for which you have established your testimony here may be accomplished in and through them. And this morning, Father, we give thanks unto you for all that you have done. And as we look into your word, pray thy blessing be added. Touch this unworthy vessel, hide me behind the cross. Use me as your mouthpiece, use me as your vessel. Committing each one of us into the loving care, giving all glory, praise unto you, asking the Lord to bind the powers of darkness, capture our thoughts and our mind. We glorify your name, exalt your name, honor your name. May Christ be exalted in our midst. To this extent, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. There are many prayers recorded in the Bible. Someone said there are about 222 prayers recorded in the Bible. And 176 of them are in the Old Testament, 46 of them in the New Testament. We always think about prayers, prayer of godly people in the scriptures, the prayers that come in the Old Testament, the prayer of Hannah, the prayer of Jonah, the prayer of Jabez, some of the prayers I'm mentioning. When it comes to the New Testament, we know the Lord's Prayer. The disciple asked him, teach us to pray, and then the Lord taught them a prayer for the disciples. And Paul also was a man of prayer. Every time he addresses a letter to the churches, he would start with a prayer. There are many prayers, even in our midst today. Some of them called all-night prayer, right? People spend time all night praying. Some are supplications, lifting up our needs before the Lord. Intercessory prayer, interceding for one another through the help of the Holy Spirit. United prayer, we unite our hearts and spirit and pray to God so that he will bring change or meet our needs or grant our petitions when we pray unto him. And sometimes we have the emergency prayer, like 911. Just pray, you know, Lord, save me, Lord, help me, quick prayer. You can't be praying long prayers when you are in desperate need. So there's an emergency prayer, you know. When Peter was sinking, what did he say? He said, he did not say, Lord, you are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are my creator. I mean, all these things are good. But you know, immediately his prayer was, Lord, 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 save me. The short prayer, emergency prayer. Sometimes we need that in our life. Sometimes we have prayer called informative prayer. That's a new thing. Informative prayer, you know? And somebody wants to say something about you, instead of saying it in front of your face, they bring it in prayer. Say, Lord, our brother Solomon, I'm picking on him today, poor guy. He's sitting in the front. He made a mistake. Lord, be with Solomon. Change his heart, Lord. He needs to correct his ways. Lord, he needs to do this. He needs to do that. You know, it's all information, giving to other people so that they can listen what you want to say about him. That's not a good prayer. So information is good. Lord, bless him. He's sick today, or heal him, Lord. Provide his needs. Give him a job. That's good. But then there's other information we try to lay out in our prayers and make our prayers, you know, miserable. So there's many prayers. And here we see, you know, the prayer of Apostle Paul to the Colossian church. A teacher asked a little boy, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you say your prayers before you eat? And Johnny said to the teacher, he replied, teacher, I don't have to because my mom is a good cook. Yeah, he didn't need to pray because his mom is a good cook. Paul, the apostle, wrote a wonderful letter to these believers here, an inspiring letter, I call it. And we all get letters. I mean, I don't know how many of you remember back in the old days, you know, we didn't have email, we didn't have WhatsApp, we didn't have texting, messaging, all that. Even phone calls were very rare. Our only way of communication was by inland letter. They call it inland letter. You would post it and that would go. You know, if you're lucky, fortunate, you will reach the destination. If you're not lucky enough, it will bounce back or go somewhere else. And we always look forward to people writing letters, a word of encouragement, a word of something about themselves, their well-being. So we value so much when somebody writes to you. You know, these days we open an email, and when somebody sends an email, a note of encouragement, we really, really appreciate. And so Paul had such a longing for this church, and he wrote an inspiring letter. Many years ago, I received a letter from our dear boxing uncle in 1981. I wrote a letter to him asking him to pray for me as I was appearing for an exam, for my bank exam, I believe. And I was so delighted and kind of shocked also a little bit. The man of God replied back to me and wrote me a letter back. He says, dear David Manohar Babu, may his mercies be showered upon you. Thank you for your letter, April 26, 1981. I shall be praying for your desire. And my sister Hannah, he mentioned, yourself according to your need, praying that the Lord may help you to pass your exams. I did pass the exams. What an encouragement that was to receive a letter from a man of God. And that, I mean, I saved it. You can imagine from 1981, 19 plus 19, 38 years, I preserved that letter because such a valuable letter that I ever received in my life, boxing. He performed our wedding also in 1986. So this was very, just three lines or four lines in that letter. But such a motivation it gave me, knowing that a man of God was praying for me, that he is upholding me at the throne of grace. So also here, Apostle Paul is praying for this church, Colossae. Colossae probably would have never been mentioned in the New Testament had it not been a church there. That this city is never mentioned in the book of Acts. If you look through the book of Acts, the city is never mentioned there. Paul did not start the Colossian church. Think about it. He never started the church, Colossian church, nor did he ever visit the church. How can you write about somebody that you never saw, never visited, or never knew about them? Such was the inspiration Apostle Paul got. And the only thing that he knew about them was in verses 4 and 9 we read, you know, in verse 4 it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus The love which you have to the saints, verse 5, and the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Three things Paul noticed in the midst of that congregation. He noticed their faith, he noticed their love, and he noticed their hope. He heard about their faith, he heard about their love for the saints, and he heard about their hope that they have in heaven. That's all Paul knew about them. And knowing all about that, he was so much inspired in the Holy Spirit to write this epistle. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. Suppose you go to another town or another city, another country, and there you meet somebody, and you tell them, where you come from? Zion Church. Is this Clarksburg or no? Durwood. Durwood, Maryland. And then they immediately say, wow, we've never been to that church, brother, but we heard about your faith. We heard about your love. We heard about your hope. What a wonderful day it will be. Huh? Awesome. Awesome, isn't it? The church, the fellowship here. Paul was so much inspired. How did the church at Colossae begin? It was a result of Paul's ministry in Ephesus for 3 years. And during those 3 years, you know, a couple people from Colossae were brought to faith. One was Epaphras, and the other one was Philemon. These two people, during the ministry of Paul in Ephesus, they got saved. And then, instead of just settling down in Ephesus, if things were going great, what could be a better place to be under the teaching of the man of God, Apostle Paul? They did not do that. They immediately went back to Colossae, taking the gospel, taking the good news, because, you know, they needed that in Colossae. So these two men were instrumental in establishing the fellowship there at Colossae. And many times, you know, we settle down when things are going well, we say, oh, this is the place God wants me to be. But yes, it may be true, but there are times God moves you. God takes you to other places. God wants you to go out and share the gospel with others. Don't be selfish Christian. Don't be isolated or just be for yourself. Your job and my job is to take out the gospel to those places who have never heard the gospel, or reach out to someone that needs to hear the gospel. Here, these two men, Epaphras and Philemon, they brought the message to the church, to the people of Colossae. And he was a key founder at the church of Colossae, Epaphras, and they had ministry going on there. And it is God's plan always that we be instruments. As God uses us, we must be available to him and say, Lord, here I am, make use of me. If not for these two men desiring to go back to their city, Colossae, the gospel would have never been taken back. The church would have never been established. And today, we would not be reading the epistle to the Colossian church. What a wonderful. The church was about 5 years old when Paul the Apostle wrote this epistle. Paul was a prisoner in Rome, and Epaphras came to assist him, to help him in many things. So they found a man called Tychicus in Colossians 4:7. We read that. A man called Tychicus carried this letter and gave it and delivered and read it at the church of Colossae. This prayer in particular is verse 9. Since the day we heard it, he says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. What is the cause? He heard about their faith, he heard about their love, he heard about their hope, and he says, for this cause, I do not cease to pray for you. We do not cease to pray for you. And that's the prayer. It's called the prisoner's prayer. I said, Paul had many prayers, and this is a wonderful prayer. And what did he pray for this church at Colossae? And what is the prayer of God for all of us? This afternoon, very briefly, I would like to see three or four things and see what God has for us even as we celebrate this anniversary of the church, 8th anniversary. What does God wants us to do? And what is God, Paul's prayer? If we were to, we ask him, Paul, please pray for us. What would he pray for us at this church at Zion? And what would he pray for each one of us? And what does God want us to be prayed for? Number one, he says, you know, Paul prayed that they be people of perception. People of perception. Paul prayed for these Christians or believers that they be people of understanding. Verse 9, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul was praying for them that you might be people of perception and understanding. What does he want them to understand? He wants them to understand the will of God in their life, finding God's will in their life. Secondly, not only he wanted them to find God's will in their life, but also follow God's word in their life. Two things he was praying. He said, I want you to know that I have my desire is that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul was not praying for a new spiritual experience, but a growth in the experience that they already have. He wanted them to grow in their spiritual intelligence, knowledge of God. Peter writes that, grow ye in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's prayer. Oh, how much we have to learn through this prayer, that we be filled with the knowledge of his will, with the knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul said, you know, there were many false teachings going on back in those days, especially a group called Gnostics, Gnosticism, and different philosophy, different teaching. Paul told them, be careful about those false teachers. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's word. When we have the knowledge of God's word, understanding of God's word, when we find God's will in our life, no matter what kind of teaching comes around us, as long as it's, you know, scriptural, we do not follow that. If it's unscriptural, no matter how great preachers they could be, if it is not biblical, scriptural, if it's unscriptural, we do not follow that. Paul prayed for that. Be careful, because there's so many false teachings going on. I want you to be careful about it, and I want you to grow in your spiritual experience. And that is Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. That's my prayer for you this morning as well. The church here at Zion, having come this far in this spiritual journey, 7 years, 8th year you have entered, you're celebrating your church 8th anniversary. I want for each of you, and even for myself this morning, that I may grow in finding God's will, and I may grow in following God's word. Many times we don't want to find God's will. You know why? Because we are afraid to find God's will. You know, man of God, I just told you, Prabhupada Singh, he always went finding God's will. You go talk to him, brother, please come to our place. We have meetings. We want to conduct special meetings. You know, if there was any other preacher, he would jump up right away and say, okay, we'll come tomorrow. We'll come next week. We'll come next month. He would always say, well, I'll pray and let you know. Sometimes you have to wait months and months. It came to marriages also, something like that. If you ask him, brother, pray for our date or a marriage, when to be solemnized, he said, I'll pray and let you know. There were days, you know, people had to wait months and months. Can you imagine waiting for a marriage, for your own marriage, waiting for him to give a date, clearance kind of thing? But people were patient because he's a man of God praying. He always found God's will in his life. Always made it a point, no matter where he traveled, no matter what he did, finding God's will as it was a priority in our dear brother Buxing's life. And many people have followed that. And I also like to do that, finding God's will. But many times we are afraid to find God's will. You know why? Because there are so many hindrances we think. Because we are afraid, we fear it is impossible to find God's will. That's our first hindrance. Many times we ask people, did you find it for God's will about this matter? Did you find God's will about this situation? Why? Because we think finding God's will is very impossible. No, it's not impossible. It is possible. God's will can be found when we wait upon God patiently, wait upon him, ask him for his guidance and seek his guidance. Secondly, we fail to find God's will. Not only we think it's impossible to find God's will, but also we think we are afraid to spend time with God. You know, in this day and age, everything is instant. You know, instant answer, instant, you know, everything has to happen at your fingertips. And so waiting upon God, for many of us, we don't have time for that. Failure to spend time with God and finding God's will is a hindrance in our Christian life. Let it not be in your case. Wait upon God. Pray as long as it takes for God to answer your prayer. As long as it takes for you to find God's will. When you are in the will of God, nothing will go wrong. Amen? Finding God's will. Failure to spend time with God. Sometimes we don't want to find God's will because we fail to recognize that we have little control over our future. We have no control over our future. Therefore, we don't want to find God's will in our life. Lack of patience, lack of trust, and sometimes because of pride. You know, naaku telusu prabhu nee kante ekkuva. I know better than you, Lord. You are not in this situation. You are not in this circumstance. You are not on the face of the earth. You see what I'm going through in my life. Sometimes because of the pride we have, we don't want to find God's will. May that not be the case. Paul writing to the church here, he says, finding God's will, make it a priority. My prayer for you is that finding God's will and doing God's will, not only finding God's will, but also doing God's will. Sometimes we don't want to find God's will because our motivations do not align in God's will. See, our motivations are different. Our plans are different. And sometimes we end up in disasters. You know that? A good example is the life of Jonah. God told him, you know, to go to the city of Nineveh and preach the gospel. Whereas Jonah said, no, Lord, I can't do that. They're bad people. How am I going to go and preach the gospel? If I preach, they might turn away from their wickedness and turn to, I don't want that to happen. Lord, let my will be done. And so he took the ship, went away. And what happened? He faced consequences. Sometimes when we do not do the will of God, when our motivations do not align with God's will, we don't want to do God's will. Thereby, we face a lot of problems later on in life. A lot of disaster, like Jonah faced. Thank God, he realized our God is a God of second chance. Jeremiah 32:40, he said, even though you are bad people, children of Israel, yet I have compassion towards you. I have everlasting covenant towards you. I want to do good to you. Such is our God. You know, we fail, fall, and we falter. Yet God is faithful to us. God of second chance, I called. No, second and third, fourth, so many times. He forgives us and brings us back into his fold. What a merciful God he is. So we fail to know God's will because our will does not align with his will. Therefore, we don't want to find. And finally, we don't want to find God's will because we do not want to accept what God is going to reveal to us and follow that. We are afraid many times, what is God going to say to me? What if I don't like it? What if I don't want to do it? And therefore, we don't want to go to the first step of finding God's will. May that not be happening in our life. We can be in the middle of God's will, yet in the midst of crisis. A very good example of that would be life of Joseph. He was in the will of God. Yet he was going through so much trouble in his life, so much problems in his life. Don't think when problems come, you are not in the will of God. Sometimes God takes us through those problems in our life. Why? Because to accomplish his will. What happened to the life of Joseph? He accepted the will of God. Thereby God honored him and exalted him to the highest position in that land. Joseph was willing to face whatever God has preserved for him. He wanted to find God's will. Paul the Apostle is praying, be filled with the knowledge of his will. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Find God's will and do God's will. Secondly, follow the word of God. How can we find God's will? Not going to an astrologer, not going to this person or that person. Not going to a counselor. Yeah, good to take counsel, godly counsel. Nothing wrong with that. But you know, finding God's will, it can happen by waiting upon the Lord and by the God's word. God reveals his will through his word. And so we must follow the word of God. A story, not only we learn so much, you know, in the word of God, but we don't put it into practice. That's the problem. We know so much head knowledge, no practical knowledge. You know, a story is told about a man who attended a university in New York University. He was 65 years age. He was still attending college. I know some people are bad, you know, they never pass the grades or pass the exam. This man was 65 years old. He's still attending college, taking classes year after year, year after year. The professor got fed up. He said, when are you going to pass, man? Come on, we are tired of seeing your face every day in the college. But this man never passed the exams. They're trying to help him in the exams. He's not taking their advice. He's not taking their help. He's still studying and studying in the university. And finally, one day they asked him, why are you not passing? I mean, we're trying to help you to graduate from the college. I mean, all these years you've been here, we're trying to make the question paper easy for you. We're trying to help you with the answers. You know, still people don't get it sometimes, you know. You know, people kind of grind them and still don't get it. So this man, finally, he told them what the secret of his failure was. He said, sir, the reason why I'm not passing my exam is because I have an uncle who passed away, who died. And before he died, in the will, he wrote this little phrase there. He made this will like this. He said, as long as my nephew is in the college, as long as my nephew is a student, he can enjoy all the inheritance that I have. The moment he graduates, he will lose that inheritance, or he will not enjoy the benefits of my inheritance. What a stupid fellow, you know. He was just because he wanted to enjoy his uncle's inheritance, wealth and money and property, he enrolled year after year, studying how much knowledge he would have acquired. What is the use? He acquired the knowledge but never put it into practical use. What good is it? Many times we are like that. We study the word of God, memorize, you know, by heart, all these things. But you got to put it in a practice. Practical knowledge is very essential as we walk with God. Finding God's will, following God's word. Secondly, he prayed for their perception. Secondly, he prayed that they be people of prosperity. Verse 10. Verse 10. Somebody read verse 10.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work,
right,
and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Right. Secondly, he prayed for their prosperity. I'm not preaching here the prosperity gospel. What Paul is praying for, they want, he wanted them to be people of prosperity, means grow as well as, you know, their well-being. Their well-being. For unto every good work, that you walk worthy of the Lord. That you walk worthy of the Lord. What Paul is saying is, you know, to have a balance of what we are in Christ Jesus and how our daily walk should be. Calling yourself a Christian, calling yourself a believer is not enough. Your talk has to be shown in your walk. We always say, talk the talk, walk the walk. You know, we separate sometimes. Oh, I talk so much, brother. I can say so many things, but don't ask me to follow that. Don't ask me to do those things in my life. We try to give advice and counsel and suggestions. We do all those things to others, but when it comes to us, we do not take heed of that. We don't want to follow that. What Paul is saying is here, believers, walk worthy of the Lord, which means you have a balanced life. Who we are in Christ Jesus must exemplify in our walk with him, must be shown in our behavior, in our day-to-day life. Don't call yourself a Christian. Don't call yourself a believer and do not, you know, go against, contrary to the word of God or to the things of God. Many times we are able to preach, but we are not able to practice it in our life. The objective to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, God's word, finding God's will, is to walk worthy of the Lord. And he says, you know, be pleasing unto the Lord, unto every good work. Be fruitful in your life. As you walk with God, be pleasing. As you walk with God, be fruitful in your life. And as you walk with God, increase in your knowledge, grow in your grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, you know, have a balance. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 3, read, somebody read that verse. Somebody help me read that. 2 Corinthians 3, please. Verse 2, yeah, 3 verse 2.
You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men.
You are an epistle written in our heart. You are a living epistle. O Christian, O believer, O child of God, O follower of Christ, you are a living epistle. See, what an epistle is, people should read that epistle. You know, when we read newspapers, what happens? A lot of news is imparted to us. We are the newspaper of this world. People read our lives. You are the living epistle. So when you walk, when you talk, when you do things in life, the people notice Christ in you, the hope of glory, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, community, wherever you are. God has placed you for a purpose. We are the living epistle. People should read about Christ and know about Christ through our life and example. And that's what Paul is asking. Walk worthy of the Lord in your life. Our pleasing can happen when we commit to God 100%. When we commit to God, our commitment should be through our worship to God, through our worship. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 15. We can make a commitment to God and please God in our life through our worship. When was the last time you worshiped God in truth and in spirit? When was the last time you partook in the worship of God? In your family, church, individual life, you know, when was the last time? Through worship, our commitment can be made to God. Through our example, Paul writes, you are the temple of the living God, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Through our example, we can make our commitment to God. Through our words, our speech, what we say, what we talk about, our conversation, we can make a commitment to God and please God in our life. Are you pleasing God through your worship? Are you pleasing God through your exemplary life? Are you pleasing God through your words and speech? You can please God through your service and work unto God in the house of God. That's an opportunity and honor that God has given to us. He has given us talents so that we can use for the glory and the extension of his kingdom. When was the last time you served in the house of God? When were you pleasing to God in your life? As God is pleased to you with your life. Our time, how much time do we spend with God? Whether it's meditation, whether it's prayer, whether it's praising, whether it's attending fellowship, whether it's going for a Bible study, whether it's going for a church prayer, how much time do we spend for the grace, for the glory of God, for God's purpose? Our commitment is made through our time given to Him. God is pleased when we give our time, talents, and treasures to Him. And our love for Him also shows our commitment to God. God is pleased when we show our love to Him. So this afternoon, we ask ourselves, are we walking worthy of the Lord? Paul is praying for this church at Colossae, that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will, finding God's will, following God's word. Secondly, he is praying that they be people of prosperity, means well-being, walk worthy of the Lord, to have a balance in your Christian life, because we are the living epistles in this world that God has placed us. And thirdly, he says in verse 10, verse 11, Verse 11, somebody read, please. Verse 11. Verse 11.
Strengthened with all might.
May you be strengthened with all power.
According to His glorious might.
According to His glorious might.
For all endurance and patience with joy.
For all endurance and patience with joy. Thirdly, he says, you know, I want you to be people of power. We're going with all the letter P. One is perception, people of perception, understanding. Secondly, people of prosperity, walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing unto the Lord, people who please God. Thirdly, he says, I want you to be people of power. And he's praying that you and I be strong in the Lord. It is God's desire that we be strong. There is tremendous power available for us in our Christian life. We many times become powerless Christians. Powerless Christian. Paul prayed in Philippians 4:13, he testified, he said, I can do all things through Christ, how? Who strengtheneth me. It is the power of God, through the power of God, grace of God, and the ability of God, and the strength of God, that I can do all things. There is nothing impossible to us, because there is nothing impossible to our God. When God is on our side, who can be against us? So that is the power that Paul is praying for these believers, that you be strong, that you be strengthened with all the power according to His glorious might. Christ has conquered everything, the sin, Satan, the cross, the grave, the world, everything He has conquered and has become victorious. He has the resurrection power in you. Paul prayed in his life, you know, he says in Philippians chapter 3, he writes, you know, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Paul, what is your desire in your life? My only desire is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. What is your desire? Paul said, I want to know the power of His resurrection. He went to that far, that extent. Don't be dissatisfied with what you have. Be strong in the Lord. Because the enemy is going around like a roaring lion. The enemy is going to attack us. No matter, if you give them a chance, he will just take us away. Without the strength of God, that's why Paul writes Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. You and I, as Christians, when we walk out through this door, yeah, as long as we are here in this room, it's fine. Oh, buddy, buddy, bye, bye, you know, brother, brother, sister, sister. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everything is fine in this room. When we walk out of this door, comes the challenge. How are we living our life? We need God's power in our day-to-day life. Without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus said in John chapter 15, He says, without me, you can do nothing. You need my power, my grace in our day-to-day life. So Paul prayed that they be strong and be filled, you know, with His might. Paul wanted others to know about it. In Ephesians chapter 1, we see also, writing to the believers, he says, you know, you have this power, the great power that God has bestowed. God's power is great for all patience and long-suffering. So these three things that Paul is praying. And the last one we saw earlier, the fourth one he prayed for in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father. We read that during worship time. What was that? He wanted them to be people of praise. Always be thankful. So four things Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. He said, number one, be people of perception. Good understanding. God's word, find God's word, I mean, find God's will and follow God's word in your life. Secondly, he says, be people of pleasing the Lord. Don't try to please people, men in this world. Many times we try to do that. And thirdly, he says, be people of power, God's power in your life. And lastly, he says, always, always be people of praise. Always let that joy of praise and thanksgiving bubble in your life. Story is told about a father and son. They were walking along the side one day with their donkey on their side. Soon, they met a man who told them how foolish they were to walk when they had a donkey that they could sit and ride on the donkey. So the father and son, both of them hopped on the donkey and started the journey. And they have not gone very far. Is that a signal for me to stop? Not far we have gone when another man criticized them both riding on the donkey. They were too heavy for it, they said. So it's inhumane. So the boy got off the donkey. The father was riding the donkey. And after a while, somebody saw these two people, a third traveler, and accused the father of being inconsiderate because he made his son walk and he's riding the donkey. The father is riding the donkey and the son is walking. So somebody complained, said, why are you doing that? This little boy is walking and you are riding. So they switched places again. Soon they met another person who charged the son was not being thoughtful about the father. And so, you know, they switched places again. The last time somebody saw them, both the father and son were carrying the donkey on their shoulder. They did not know who they have to listen to. And they could not please everybody. You know, one man said like this, the other man said like that. And many times we are in that condition, sad to say. We try to be people of pleasing men and women or people in this world. Don't be a pleaser of people, but be a pleaser of God. Walk worthy of the Lord. May God help us as we continue our life journey, our spiritual journey, even Zion as it continues this journey. May Zion also be filled with the people of perception, people of prosperity, well-being, following and pleasing God, and people who are filled with the power of God and do great and mighty things for His glory and for His honor, and also people of praise. Always be thankful and be grateful to what God has done. Thank you.